section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Project 2. This is Dana Eggert and Rhea Lehman interviewing
John P. Robbins.
And your address?
220 North Dithridge Street, Pittsburgh.
Mr. Robin, we know from your curriculum vitae just how rich and varied your experience has been. For purposes of oral history, we'd like to begin at the beginning with your family origins, if we may.
Well, I was born in Pittsburgh.
Excuse me, yeah. We'd like to go back a little further than that.
Well, I was going to give you that.
All right, go ahead.
But somehow, you know. I was born in Pittsburgh on October 15, 1912, at the old Passman Hospital, which was in the Hill District of Pittsburgh. My parents were Peter Robin and Bessie Silverberg Robin. My father had immigrated to the United States sometime in the early 1890s, at the age of 16. He left Kishinev in Bessarabia, a part of Russia, and in time to avoid military service, came to the port of Hamburg in Germany and came to Pittsburgh, where his older brother had preceded him. The family name was Rabinovich, which I take it is the Russian equivalent of Rabinowitz, which is a rather common Jewish name. Rabinovich is less, we always like that. I think his older brother had changed the name and he adopted it. He studied pharmacy, and quite an unusual achievement, I think. In 4 years, he had not only learned English, but had learned pharmacy and had been admitted to the professional.
Where did he study pharmacy?
In those days, there was no school. I think he became an apprentice and took your board. You worked in a pharmacy, studied the books, and took an examination.
Was his brother a Pittsburgher also?
His brother was located in Pittsburgh. He was several years older. How many years older?
What was his name, Mr. Robin?
His name was Max Robin.
I see.
And he left six children, achieved certain distinction in various fields. My mother was Bessie Silverberg. She was born in Russian Poland and came to Pittsburgh with her family at the age of 3, so in effect she was equivalent to being native born.
How did your parents meet?
Our family history is not full anecdote, so I don't have the slightest idea. Unfortunately, as I was growing up, we had no grandparents in the family. I was one of 5 children. And the family tradition, I think, was very much one of the present and not of the past. We were a non-observant family. Rationalist, and I would guess in Russian terms of the time, social democrats. And consequently, let's say we made a very rapid adjustment in my family to American life and American culture. English was spoken at home, no other language. I often regret my father could not have taught me some Russian. It would have been useful for that. What he did teach me was several swear words. And that's all.
No Yiddish?
No Yiddish.
I see. Your parents married and settled in Pittsburgh?
My parents married and settled in Pittsburgh. And with the exception of some years in the town of McDonald, PA, which is close to Pittsburgh, they were city residents throughout their lives. And as I say, I was one of 5 children, the middle one of 5.
Where did they settle in Pittsburgh?
We always lived in East Liberty and Squirrel Hill.
You mentioned that you were one of 5. Can you tell us about your...
Well, I have 2 brothers older than myself, now deceased. 1 brother younger than myself, now deceased. And 1 sister, the youngest in our family, who died tragically of polio just before the smallpox vaccines were available. And so so I'm the last survivor in my family.
I see. You mentioned that you grew up about the influence of grandparents. Did your grandparents not come to this country?
My mother's father and mother, I think, were in this country, but I have no memory of them. And perhaps one was surviving into my infancy. My father's parents did not. He was the youngest of 12 children.
I see. Yeah. And they were from Russia?
They're from Kishinev and Kasarovia, yeah.
I see. Your brothers and sisters did live in the Pittsburgh community, did they?
Yes. But for the most part of their lives, yes. Yeah.
You mentioned a little while ago that they attained a certain distinction.
No, that was my uncle's children.
Oh, your uncle's children. Yeah. I see.
No, unfortunately, in our family, on the whole, it was a fairly good IQ, I think. The achievement orientation was not really what it might well have been. And so the other members of my family didn't achieve the professional level, which I think that their ability could have attained for them.
Did any of them follow your father into pharmacy?
Actually they worked in drugstores, but never became professional pharmacists. We're allergic to school in our family.
That's hard to believe. Yeah. Could you tell us something about the atmosphere in your home? Was it patriarchal or matriarchal? Authority?
I think the atmosphere in our home was every man for himself.
I see.
We were not on a very loose rein. So there was actually very little authority in the household. Each of us did whatever seemed best to him, which perhaps explains why some of the career achievement that might have been expected was not produced. So I say we each emerged according to our own personalities and interests. Although I would say the one thing that was clear in the family was an intellectual interest. The family was always interested in politics and public affairs and life around us. And as my younger brother and I grew up, we were very much in science. But one thing my mother was very good about was buying reference books for the family. So we always had, as I say, we essentially had a literate background, an intellectual background, perhaps more than many families, the equivalent families would have had.
Did your father attend school here in Pittsburgh?
No, he did not. As I say, he came at 16, went to work, passed his state boards, and after that he owned a great many drugstores over various times. I think perhaps in his whole lifetime he started or finished about 30 stores. He never was successful in a business sense, and it was always a pretty scratchy thing through most of our lives. While we never were, obviously, at the poverty level, we never were affluent either. Although, of course, when you're a kid, you don't know that.
To quote Eisenhower.
That what he said to
me? He said we were poor, but we never
No, that's right.
You said mother directed your interest towards politics and science.
Well, my mother really, I think, bought the books.
I see.
That were available, that were made available to us. I remember, of course, the Book of Knowledge and the Encyclopedia Britannica and the reference works which I grew up. And my father and older brothers, I think, were probably more interested in politics and public affairs than my mother. She had her hands full with the five of us.
I see. Did your father's drugstore hours keep him away from home?
Yes, in those days the drugstore opened at 8 in the morning and closed at midnight. So again, the family, the parental influence was weak in our household compared, as I say, except for the provision of the necessities of life.
But mother was on debt more.
Yeah. But we were very independent children, I think, each of us found interest. And we're left and encouraged to pursue them.
How would you describe the relationship between you and your brothers and your sister?
Why, friendly, but not extremely close. The age differentials were rather high in the range of the family. And as I say, we were very individualistic. And And that continued as we became adults. So we could not call us something of a close-knit family.
There wasn't any one brother that you were closer to than the others?
I was probably closest to my brother Ralph, who was only 2 years younger than myself, and who was oriented, as I was, I think, to what we hoped would be a scientific education.
And religion, was it a factor?
No, my family, as I say, has never been observant. I never went to any, we never attended synagogue, and I never even enrolled in Rhode Island Sunday school. And my older brother lasted in there for a short time, but none of the rest of us did.
None of your brothers was
no.
ever bar mitzvah for
no.
anything of that sort. You did mention something about the economic situation in your home.
I would say that it was tenuous. In other words, my father was a businessman. Sometimes he was successful, sometimes he was not. And so there were periods of prosperity and periods of wondering what the support next week's, where next week's rent would come from. And of course, when the Depression came in 1929 to 1933, I had been grown into graduating high school, going to college, and the real struggle to scrape up with $300 tuition, which seems like so strange and
move
today's pricing, yes.
You mentioned politics and science as influences in the home sponsored by your mother and your father, too, I assume. Were there other cultural influences?
General interest in literature. And, I think my older brothers at the time were typical. The American Mercury magazine, and John Mencken's magazine. Sort of, I won't say avant-garde, but at least the non-conventional or less conventional, non-bourgeois. I mean, an attempt to be non-bourgeois in thinking.
Music factor?
None of us are musical. My mother was, but the past is all over. And to the best of my knowledge, no one in our family ever played a musical instrument.
And neither of your parents is living. You
no, my parents are long since dead.
Survivors of the family,
dead.
I see.
So
and the extended family relationships?
Nominal.
Could you tell us something about the community you lived in those early years?
Well,
you say you were in East Liberty.
I went to Fulton School. East Liberty. And then when we moved to Squirrelville, I went to Whiteman School.
Regarding the streets that you lived on.
Well, we lived on relatively nice streets, Baby Street and East Liberty. We were more prosperous. Then we moved to Squirrelville. We lived in Forbes Terrace, and various times on Barclay Street and Beacon Street, and Hobart Street.
Predominantly Jewish neighborhoods.
Predominantly Jewish neighborhoods.
You never experienced any anti-Semitism in the communities you live in, areas?
No, I never understood that it existed, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. Probably as many times as it had an effect, but I didn't know it.
I see. Now you say you went to Fulton School.
Yeah.
I see. Was it a good experience?
Yes, I liked school and I was a good student. Later, however, I learned that I could go to school half the time and read half the time, and come out ahead.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
No truant officer.
Well, there were some complaints. Some complaints.
But it was a happy experience.
Yes, I was then and now intellectually curious, and obviously school helped answer much of my curiosity. The subjects in which I was then and still much most interested in were, in those terms, geography and history, which have been condensed into other terms today, I think, unfortunately.
Social studies.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in biology, which was my real deepest interest at that time.
Do you recall any special teachers from those early years who were an influence?
Not really. Well, not until I got to high school.
Yeah.
And in high school, I think the one most was Bill Smith. I don't know if you remember him. he taught zoology.
I see.
But again, I suppose I grew up rather separated from other influences from my own. I don't say I was solitary, I wasn't. But I tended to, I think, shape my own interest by whatever genes lead you to do. And I have a poor memory, really, for the past. I don't have a total recall. In fact, I have a minimal recall. And unlike many people who remember their childhood and their school days and other things, very clearly to me, it's quite murky. And
do you recall any significant friendships from those years?
I think boys of like mind, a few students in each class. But again, you asked me to name them and who they were and so on at this time. It's very difficult for me to single them out.
You sort of made your own way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a sort of a life precept, I think, which may be cultivated or maybe natural. Life is to be lived in the present and the future, and the past is past.
And here we are delving into the past.
Well, it's just something, yes.
For best, for this purpose.
Exactly.
Of oral history.
Yeah.
Shamley High School, right?
Yes.
And that was good education.
Yes, I think so. I liked let's say I was truant very much of the time because I could keep up with the class without necessarily going to it. And I enjoyed the studies of Shamley, particularly Latin, which I
Dr. Louis?
Dr. Louis, the 4 years. And they didn't offer as much biology and chemistry as I would have liked. I liked enjoyed those. I'm not a good mathematician. If I were a good mathematician, I'd be a biochemist instead of anyone I am.
Maybe we're fortunate here at Pittsburgh.
That's a good question.
You mentioned the one teacher in particular. Yeah.
Well, that was perhaps the subject and the combination of the subject and the personality.
And he taught what?
He taught zoology.
I see.
And when I went to Pitt, I majored in zoology and intended at that time to become a research zoologist.
Did you belong to any clubs aligned with your scientific interests?
No, I say, I'm afraid that the same refrain, a non-joiner.
I see. In retrospect, how would you assess the discipline in schools in those years?
Why, I don't think we thought that we had any discipline problem. Everybody did what they were told. And
that was a happy situation, wasn't it?
As far as I was concerned, yes. I said, my non-discipline was not coming to school. When I was there, I behaved myself.
What were the health services like in those early years? Your father was a pharmacist. Yeah. You might have had a little more insight into that.
Well, I guess in our family, we had the normal childhood diseases. In those days, your pediatrician made house calls. And I think we were reasonably well looked after. Whatever health problems we had, there were no serious illnesses in the family growing up. And I say, unfortunately, my sister was a very lovely girl, just had recently been married and died at the age of 30 with polio in the very late years, so it was quite the experience. But that was the only critical illness. Of course, that was past this time anyway.
Clinics were not operating then?
Not to our knowledge. As I say, again, being a pharmacist child, we naturally had access to all the medicines. And a lot of doctors would hang around the drugstore. And I guess we took medicine for granted. That was obviously too before antibiotics, before many of the present vaccines and prophylactics against disease were available. So we lived through it.
Well, can we talk about the adolescent years? Were you involved in any kind of community or group activity?
No.
Still on
no.
your own level?
No. As a matter of fact, as I say, very much my own way. Whether that was a combination of shyness or not being self-centeredness, so it's hard for me to say it this late day. But I think it's a combination of both. My younger brother and I were, I think, unusually shy in the sense that we were not...
This was the brother you mentioned.
My younger brother, yes. as I say, our interests were bookish, primarily, not athletic, and not social, but intellectual, as far as we could grasp.
Civic interest, political interest? Well, except for,
I had two instinctive interests in my life. One is in what now called the life sciences, or biology, or zoology, living things. The other is in politics, and I remember being interested in politics from the time I was 14 years old. I think I'm calling up for election returns.
That's sort of an unusual combination.
Yes, it is, and of course, I had a fork in the road where I took the one but retained an intellectual and personal interest in the latter. The only time I was able to enjoy them both was when I was working in East Africa, and I had the advantage of being enormous. Wonderful parks and environments and standing there as it was, as well as a semi-political assignment, so that's certainly fine.
Seems to me I read somewhere in doing some background research on John Robin that your father's drugstore was a gathering place.
Yeah,
a newspaper
man. Yeah, a number of newspaper men, exactly. That was when he had the story about Wharton Center. And that's really how I got my job at the Post Gazette.
But did this stimulate, was that a hangout?
Well, I think it was mutual. Oh, yeah, I think it was sort of mutual, of course. They found an interest in the store, and we found an interest in them. And so that would be, that'd be pure.
So no hobbies at this period, aside from your two principals?
That's about right. Yeah. Well, yeah, that would be right.
All right, now we come to the college and professional education.
My undergraduate work, which is my only college work, was here at Pitt.
I see.
And where I did major in zoology, and I was a very good student. I was almost straight A, if not quite. And my senior year, I was allowed to take honors courses, which, in other words, plan your own research and do what you can and report to me what you're doing. And if the Depression had not been there, and if it's in today's world instead of that world with graduate fellowships and other things available, I'm sure I would have chosen to continue in scientific research. Whether I would have been good or not, I don't know, but I'm sure that's what I would like to have done. But unfortunately, the Depression was at its peak. My family wasn't able to raise tuition money. There were no graduate assistance kids.
I was going to say, were there any grants of any kind of scholarships?
Not in those days. No.
I see.
And as I said, remember, this is the very depth of the Depression, 33, 34. And fortunately, and then for a time, when I went to work for the Post Gazette, I was the only person employed in my family at $25 a week.
I see.
So, I mean, those were rough times. We now sound like Spence Turkle.
Language more accepted.
Yeah.
were there any honoraries that you achieved in those academic years that we should record?
Nothing I could remember.
I see.
Much more lately in my life. I was made an honorary member of Phi Beta Kappa, but that was 40 years after the fact.
Still nice to receive.
Yeah.
You speak of the fact that you would have gone on into scientific fields in view of your unusual accomplishments in the field that you're in. Do you have any regrets about that?
No, I don't think so. I'd have been a very different person, I'm sure, much more introverted. Obviously, my life would have been wholly different. Who could tell?
Yeah.
I can't guarantee I would have won a Nobel Prize. So short of that. No, I
wouldn't surprise me.
I never did.
Mr. Robin, before we get into your really outstanding professional career, could we digress long enough to deal with your personal life regarding marriage and your own family? Could you tell us something of your marriage, when, and your wife's name?
Yes. Well, I've been married twice. My first wife was Jean Campbell. And we had two children. One is Peter G. Robin, who now lives in Philadelphia.
His birthday?
His birthday would be February 10th. I've got to call it. February 10th, 1938. And Angela A.M.S. daughter, who practices law presently in Northern Virginia.
And what was it you said your son did?
He's in business in Philadelphia.
Is your daughter married?
She was married and is now divorced.
Was your wife in Pittsburgh?
Yes, she was in Pittsburgh.
I see. And the subsequent marriage?
Well, my first wife is now dead, but before her death, we were divorced. And when I remarried, I married Rita Herron, H-E-R-R-O-N.
She's a Pittsburgher?
She's also a Pittsburgher. And we have no children.
Could you tell us something of her background?
Rita and I grew up in the mayor's office together, actually. In Mayor Lawrence's office.
I see.
Again, most of us are depression children. Both my first wife, who was a very brave person, and we also very high IQ, never really completed college because of the time in which they grew up.
But you made your mark.
Well, we survived. I have a certain skepticism, basically. See, I feel about credentials and degrees. We live by them, and we have to have them. Obviously, there are exceptions.
Obviously. Had your wife had the same interest as you then, certainly in political aspects?
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
Has she worked with you on any of your projects?
Well, actually, she was my secretary for a time at the Urban Redevelopment very many years ago.
I see.
But since our marriage, she has found all she could do to keep up with her own life, her family life, the household.
How long, in other words, since she was involved in the mayor's office,
yes.
She has not had a career?
No, she has not had many times.
I see.
Let's say she last severed that one. She was working in the White House, with Governor Lawrence, the Kennedy administration.
No, I'm
I
sorry,
starting
I didn't
to,
catch
that. Starting to mumble.
That's okay.
Said, what did you say about the White House?
I said her last employment was in the White House in the Kennedy administration as assistant to Governor Lawrence, who was an assistant to the president. So she was an assistant to an assistant. Lawrence, after he ceased to be governor, headed the housing, was an assistant to the president in charge of fair housing practices. And Rita went with him to Washington. And
what were those dates?
Those were the Kennedy administration. That'd be 1961, 1963.
Mm-hmm. And she was with him those 2 years?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I see.
And we married in 68.
And that was her last
That was her last favorite point.
I see.
I've threatened to put her back to work.
She sounds like she'd be an asset. I note that your earliest employment was between 34 and 43 here in Pittsburgh, prior to your military experience.
Yes.
Did you set up a home here in those years and raise children?
I married in 37, and Peter was born in 38. Yes. Well, I lived with my parents, who were still alive, my mother was still alive, until my marriage. And then, of course, we did after. With the Shady Avenue at that time, and subsequent to that on Hepburn Street, and also in East End. And that would be the statistic.
Beta lists your first job as reporter in the editorial department of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Yes.
From 34 to 36. Yeah. You were probably just shortly out of college, how did you get that
assignment? Well, I got that through luck, which has been the secret, I think, most of my employment. Joe Schumann, who was still, Joe will probably be on your list of the interviews, I would think. If not, he should be. Joe was managing editor of the Post-Gazette until his retirement. Joe Schumann was one of those reporters who